Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
This is not my message, but this is something I'm going to share with you. I asked the Lord about this, and he said, "Do you want you to share just like a father to the children?" And I said, "Okie dokie." How many of you know that we live in a great nation? We live in a good land. We live in the best nation that I know of. And live in a great nation. We have a new president, and we need to support the president just like we did our previous presidents. And we need to learn to make sure that we don't get caught up in a political spirit and do things that are has a political agenda instead of a kingdom agenda. Amen. You should not let politics influence your behavior and your walk with God. Amen. You should let your walk with God and who He is influence your politics. If it's the other way, you've got it reversed. And that's the truth. So we need to make sure that we don't follow a political spirit, and we need to make sure that we follow God's agenda. Everybody say, God's agenda. God's agenda. Listen, God's not worried, and neither should you be. He told us not to fret and not to worry, right? Listen, we live in a land, listen to this, we live in a land that farmers, ranchers, school teachers, postmasters, soldiers, tailors, sheriffs, writers, lawyers, professors, judges, mayors, generals, engineers, newspaper editors, movie stars, sport team owners, community organizers, and businessmen can be president of this United States of America. That deserves more than just a "that's right." I mean, we live in a land, I'm telling you, we live in a land that is a republic, that we need to understand that you can come from a peanut farm and become president. Now, I'm grateful for the land in which we live, but I want to exhort you this morning. 1 Thessalonians 2 says this, "Exhort, encourage, and urge each other as you, each one of you, exhort, encourage, and urge each one of you as a father would his own children, that you may walk in a manner that is worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom." You should not walk worthy of a political party. You should walk worthy of your calling in God. That's what the Bible says. And I'm here to tell you what the Bible says, not what a political party says. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, "Exhort, encourage, and urge one another as you would a father to a child, to walk in a manner that is worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and His glory." So there's a kingdom walk and there's a glorious walk. Amen? And we should walk worthy in that manner. Titus 3 says, "Remind the people." What do we need to remind the people? That's you. That's me. "Remind the people to be subject to their rulers and authorities, to be obedient and to be ready to do whatever is good. Do not slander one another. Be peaceable and be considerate with respect and show true humility toward all people." That's the Word of God. Remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do good. Do not slander one another. Be peaceable, be respectful, and show the humility toward one another. Why? At one time, it doesn't stop there. He says, "At one time you were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions. You lived in malice, envy, being hated and hating one another." But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. He saved us. Not because of the righteous things that we've done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things. I'm stressing them to you today. I want you to stress these things so that, should I need to stress them? So that those who have trusted in God as their Savior might be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good and following Him. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. You need to read that. You need to go home and read that. You need to meditate. You need to think about that. You know, he says, be subject. That word to be subject is to place yourself under in an orderly way and an honorable fashion. Romans 13 says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has resisted and opposed the ordinance of God. So this thing about this is saying that those who hold the position of authority, you should subject yourself to. Be in an honorable position to honor the position, honor the person in the position. Are you with me? Honor the person in the position. And that doesn't just mean the president. That means all authority. You know, this thing about, you know, not my president, well, you must be moving to another country. That's almost like saying, it's almost like saying, well, I'm in the kingdom of God, but he ain't my king. Huh. Well, you ain't in the kingdom. Now listen. 1 Timothy said, what do we need to do? We need to encourage each other to walk worthy in the manner in which God has called you and I. It means you need to watch what you say. You need to guard yourself from saying things that are slanderous, that hurts. And slander means to bring someone in a bad light, to hurt their public opinion of in others' view. That's slander. God says it's wrong. I don't care what a political party says. God says it's wrong. Amen? What do we need to do next, Pastor? Here's what we need to do. 1 Timothy says, I urge you. I urge you. So I'm urging you today that petitions, prayers, requests, thanksgiving be offered to God for all people. Kings means presidents. Kings and all others who are in authority. Do all this praying for them, interceding for them, request and thanksgiving for them, so that you may lead a quiet, peaceful life with all reverence toward God. You want to revere God? You want to honor God? This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Reverence toward God with proper conduct. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior. Therefore, it is my wish that when men pray, no matter where you are, they should lift up holy hands, hands that are holy. What does that mean? It means that no one should become angry, get into arguments, and sow dissensions. That's holy hands. Lift up holy hands, no dissensions. In other words, disagreement that leads to discord. He says, I urge you. And I'm urging you to urge others. Walk worthy of being a Christian. Walk worthy of the calling of God that is upon your life. You know, this verse up here, it says that be subject to them and be respectful to them and honor them. And it goes on and it says, because, you know, God wants everybody to be saved. What is he saying? He said, how you treat your authorities is going to influence people about Jesus Christ in your life. That's what it says. So, what do we do? Facebook. That's where I was going. Billy Harden posted something on his Facebook. He says, well, my president left office today. And he handed the reins over to my president. I thought that was so honorable. My president left office today, and he handed the reins over to my president. And when we pray for his success and we support the success of a leader, then we pray for the success of our own country. Now, let me pause just for a moment and tell you. I didn't tell you to support every policy that President Trump has. When President Trump has a policy that flies up in the face of biblical things, you ought to oppose it. That's not opposing the man. It's opposing a policy. Do you hear? God is very clear. If there's something that is not biblical, you ought to stand up against it. I can't believe you brought this up. Well, I can. You know why? Because it impacts life. We should be a people of diversity, not division. All right, y'all ready to move on? All right, that's just an introduction. Thank you, Lord. I gave you the Word of God today. I didn't give you a political stump. I gave you the Word of God. It's left up to you to either do it or not do it. It's left up to me to either do it or not do it. Amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. I've had to go to some people over the last 8 years. I've had to go to some people in the congregation and say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. That post, that what you just said is ungodly. I said, you either need to take it down, remove it, or do something with it. And don't do that again. I can't control the person, but I am a person who can go to them and say, listen, I'm encouraging you, I'm rebuking, and I am in urging you to walk worthy of your calling in God. And your calling is in the kingdom, not in a political party. All right. Say thank you, Pastor. All right, good. Good. I'm not ashamed of bringing it. I'm really not. Amen. Everybody breathe deep. So that was a good word. That was a word of God. And I am a believer of God's word. Okay. All right. Here we go. Did y'all find Isaiah last week? I said to go to Isaiah. Did anybody find Isaiah last week? Well, let's go to Isaiah again. You ready? We want to talk to you a little bit about finding our way, standing on promises. I told you had some homework to do. The homework is to find the promises of God that you need for your life, you need for your finances, you need for your church, you need for your children, you need for your family. You find the promises of God, write them down in those areas, and begin to stand on them. Stand on them. By the way, if you don't see something come, you got to have hope to have a future. To have a future, you're going to have a hope. Because if you don't have the hope for your future, then nobody's going to hope for you. We need to find those things. We need to have the Word of God. We need to invest in studying the Word of God. We need to invest. Everybody say invest. In studying. Notice I said study and not just read. We need to have a reading time, but you need to invest in the studying of God's Word. So you'll know when His voice is speaking, when He's giving you a fresh rhema word, you know it's His voice because it doesn't conflict with what you know is in this Word. God will never tell you something that is conflictive to His written Word. He won't do it. So we need to capture those things that are promises and what He's telling us, and we need to invest in that. Invest in time. to the Word of God. Begin to know the Word of God. And find places for find the promises of God for your future, for your job. How many of you know sometimes you got to find them, and then you just got to take a stand on what you know He says. How many of you know that? You just got to take a stand, because there are going to be so many adverse things that's going to rise up against what you know God is saying to you. And the enemy's intention is for you and I to take our eyes and our focus off Jesus and put our focus on the things that are surrounding us that are saying different things that the Word of God is saying than what the Word of God is saying. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know that God said, God tell you one thing, said, you know, don't steal that. You don't need to take that. That's stealing. If they've given you too much money, and you go on and say, you can't say, you know, we try to sanctify that and say, well, it's just a blessing from God. Not. They made a mistake. It cost the company. I don't care if it was a dollar, penny, or whatever. You take it back. See, you already know inside you that's what I'm supposed to do, but there's going to be an adverse situation. You know, that may be God's way of paying part of my light bill this week. No, He ain't going to do it that way. That's a test. That's a test to see if you're going to follow Him in all the things that He's told you to do. Everybody say, all the things that He's told you to do. You know, we have got to have things that are set in the future so we'll know where we're going. If you do not have things set in the future that is based on God's Word, you don't know where you're going. Any wind can come by and get you. Any wave can come by and take you out. Any trickster that's coming by peddling the Word of God can get you. I'm telling you the truth. You got to have something that's substantial in God's Word and that He has told you that He's going to. You know, do y'all remember the five couples that were wanting children? How many years ago has that been? Anybody remember? About four? Five? How many years does it go, Sherry? How long has that been? Probably four or five. Listen, there's five couples wanted children. Well, you know, let's read a passage. I'll tell you about those couples, but let me read this passage. I'm going to get to Isaiah, I promise. Here it is, Isaiah 54. Turn the leaves to 54. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren woman. You who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now, here's the dilemma. Here's a promise of God. And this is what I'm talking about when you have a promise for your family. You have a promise for your finance. You have a promise from God. Listen, I ain't talking about grabbing something that sounds good. I'm talking about something that's the Word of God for you. You can have some things that sounds good, but it ain't the Word of God for you. You got to have the Word of God to be able to stand on it. Amen? You know, it's just like... you know, the prodigal's coming home. You know, you have to take a position. You have to take a stand on that. But see, here's a barren woman. You know what barrenness means? Don't have any and can't have any. So here you are in this box of whatever it is on your promise. You don't have it. And by your natural means, you can't have it. So here we are with five couples, and these five couples, let me see, I had their names written down. Chad and Cree Davis, Robbie and Sherry, George and Susan, Drew and Jasmine, all of them wanting children. And there was another one that just had it this just a few months ago was Ron and Angela. They moved back to Ohio, I think, Ron, he sent me a text and he said, "Pastor, the baby is born." That's been 5 years ago. 4 years ago. It's been years. Everybody say it's been years. But to never stop believing. You know what? Chad and Cree have children. Robbie and Sherry have children. George and Susan have children. Drew and Jasmine have children. Ron and Angela have children. What happened? God came through for them. Look, there's a, you know, Holly, you come up here a second. Vance, come up here for, sometimes you just got to stand. I told you that this is a year of breaking through. This is a year of breaking through, not just breakthrough. This is a year of you breaking through. In other words, you're going to have to break through this thing. You have to stand on God's word and you have to break through this thing. I want you to hear something from these. You're going to hear two breakthroughs. Here's from Holly. Holly, how would your breakthrough come to this year?
I've had a financial breakthrough and also an addiction. I had an addiction problem as well, and I have a breakthrough through my addiction.
You're free of your addiction, and not only you got a job.
Yes, and at the job I got a bonus, and at the job I got a pay raise.
First paycheck.
And I'm off on Sundays, so I can come to church.
Tell me that's not a breakthrough. Listen, she just drew her first check, and she looked, and this is her first check. She looked, she got a raise. First check. She also looked, and on top of that was a bonus. And on top of that, she don't have to work Sundays. Now, that didn't just come automatically. You stood on it, didn't you? You stood on the promises of God. Took a stand. Took a stand on what God said. Give Holly a hand. I tell you, she's good. Vance.
Well, around 2 months ago, I began to lose my breath. And the last 3 weeks of that 2 months, I was gasping for air. And I told my wife, I said, I think my lungs have fluid in them. Because when I would exhale, I could hear like a boiling water. And it was really difficult. It was fearful, too. And so I ended up going to the hospital. I'd first come to the healing rooms, and each time I would come, I would feel better. And I was holding on to something OA told me about 4 years ago. He gave me this literature that expounded the word, and Jesus looked at the Pharisees when this man had faith, and he said, which is easier to tell this man? Take your cot and walk, or your sins are forgiven you. And I kept saying, Lord, I know I'm saved, and I know I'm healed. I just have some battles. Help me through these. And I ended up going on to the hospital, and I was there 5 days. I got some really bad reports. And I thought, I am not taking that home with me. It's not entering me. And the strange thing is when I was... released the day I was released, I was like, oh boy, here we go again. But as I got up, I got dressed, and I began to leave that hospital, I began to breathe so good and so deep and so clear, and I got so confident in God and the prayers of His people until I was walking in an expectation. And it was a miracle. There was nothing less than that. It was a miracle. I went home and slept all night. My wife said I didn't even snore.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I slept all night. I didn't even wake. I've had some wonderful days. And I just praise God for that. Thank
Amen.
You guys so much for your prayers.
They actually told you wasn't going to make it.
They told me that... The issue was my heart, and I don't have issues. I battle them, and I've had to battle with AFib and aflutter, and then I had this new battle that causes my heart to stop for 2.5 seconds. And they told me, they said, "Look, we figured out." They shocked my heart, and we figured out that there's no way to help you. There's this procedure called a catheter ablation that destroys the cells in your upper chamber of your heart that sends the wrong electrical firing for your heart. Then 4 doctors came back, heart doctors, and said, "We're sorry, but this procedure will not work. The only thing we can offer you is we can completely put to death the upper chamber of your heart, then put you in a pacemaker. But sometimes batteries are bad, and if we have to destroy the upper chamber of your heart, which gives the right firing order, you wouldn't make it. And the other thing is you'd have to have batteries replaced way before they would go dead." And I thought, no way.
What'd God do?
So God just, I'll be honest with you, my heart hasn't fluttered. It was like a fish out of water flopping on the ground is what was going on. And trying to get your breath with your heart racing, it's like you just ran a marathon and you're trying to get your breath with your lungs full of fluid. Trust me, it's not good. But,
Amen. Praise God.
That says it all.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Y'all, those things that sometimes don't come, said, okay, it's one day this way and one day that way. No, you stand on the promises. You stand on the promise. Everybody say, stand on the promise. Here's a promise. Here's a barren woman, don't have any, can't have any. And what does he say? He says, I want you to, watch this. I want you to sing. Don't have any, and I don't see a way out of it. I don't have any and don't see every possible that I'm ever going to have any. I want you to sing. Don't have any children. Don't see a possible way to have it. I don't have what I've been promised, and I don't see a possible way for me to get it. What does he say? Go to singing. I don't have what he told me. I'm standing on it, but I don't have what he told me, and I don't see a possible way that it's going to actually get through. I don't have any means to making this thing happen. What does God say? Go to singing. Well, that don't make sense. Everybody say, I know. That doesn't make sense, but it's the word of God. Well, he said, go to singing. And not only go to singing, he said, start bursting out in a song and start shouting for joy. It is in the barren moments when you don't think it's happening, it hasn't happened, and you don't think it's going to happen, and all of a sudden it looks like it's far away from ever happening. He said, I want you to start singing, because it is in the barren moments that you find the song of joy for the coming promise. That you find the song of joy for anybody can jump up and shout when you already have it. But here you are, you don't have it, and you don't see a single way of it ever happening. Whatever it is that you've got written out that God has said. But he says, sing. Well, what do you need to sing? You need to just start singing the promises of God, whatever those promises are. You need to just start singing. You just need to start singing. The next thing you know, there'll be a promise that just walks right up into your life. This is one, I know I'm going to get you over there to mama. I'm going to get you over there, I promise. This is one of them youngins that was promised. Look at it. Where are you headed, honey? Where are you headed? Huh? She said mama, didn't she? Where's mama? She went through that door? She went through that door. She went through looking for you. Just come on and be up here with me just a little bit. Hope, what is hope? Hope is not being able to see it in the natural. But you got a promise from God over here that you've prayed for, you've anointed, spoken, that you're going to have children in your life. And you don't see it. Years go by, another year goes by, and you don't see it. Faith says, wait a minute, I see what's set before me. I see out yonder, I see a young'un. I see a child. I see a little one coming. I'm going to take my stand on the little one coming on what I see. You know, and then he says this. He said, faith is the, watch this, substance of things that are not seen in the natural, but you see it beyond the natural. You see it in the eyes of God. You see it in the heart of God. You see it in the Word of God. And you see it because you don't see it in the natural. And you start standing on it. Here's Mama. Yeah, here's Mama. And all of a sudden, one of these comes. Another one comes. Who knows how many more is coming? You understand what I'm talking about? Why? Because you're standing on what God is telling you, what God has said, what you've been anointed to do, what you've been anointed to have. But it is in the barrenness, it's when you don't have it, that you start singing it into existence, that you start shouting for joy and singing a song of joy into existence. Why? Because you're seeing something that is set before you. Sort of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Does it? It does to me. Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, my faith, for the joy that was set before him. He didn't have the joy at that moment, but he saw the joy that was set before him, and he entered into that joy, and he endured the cross in order to get the promise that was coming. This song of joy comes when you don't, when you're in this barren moment. You can't make it happen. You don't see any way that it's going to happen. All of a sudden, a song starts rising up inside you. Why? Because it's the promise of God. It's the presence of God that he's led you into. And you want to stand on the promise of God. You want to be able to endure. You want to be through it all. Through it all, I've learned. I've learned. Through it all, to depend upon his word. Depend upon his word. Everybody say, depend upon his word. So if you don't have a word for your family, go get one. If you don't have a word for your finance, go get one. If you don't have a word for your children, go get one. If you don't have a word for your job, go get one. If you don't have a word for your church, go get one. If you don't have a word for your community, go get one. How am I going to get one? Find out what he said about your family, about your job, about your finances, about your family, about your kids, about the community. Find out what he said. Start standing on it. Start singing it. Start singing the joy. Because it is through the pressure that you're going through that is developing character to stand and to endure the very attack that the enemy wants to get you discouraged and get you complaining, get you being critical. I don't like it. How many of you run into critical people? How many of you are one? Oh, I didn't see no hands on that one. All of a sudden you become critical. You become critical and you don't see it out. Listen, you know the opposite of this? See, if you cannot celebrate when you don't have it, your celebration will be superficial when you get it. I'm telling you the truth. If you don't celebrate it if you don't celebrate getting it before you get it, you're not going to be able to celebrate it with honesty and true worship of God when you do get it. Are you with me? You got to be able to celebrate the coming promise. Celebrate that it's around the corner. Around the corner may mean 5 years. I don't know what it's going to mean. But you don't stop. The Bible says over in Psalms, says, so why is it that you're in despair? So why is it that you're in distress? Why is it that you're away, that you're this way? He's talking to himself. He says, hope in God, because I shall yet praise him. What does that mean? I'm going to establish my hope in God. And I'm going to, there's a praise about to break loose out of me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to shake off this despair. I'm going to leave the place of disappointment. I'm going to leave the place of despair. I'm going to leave the place of I don't have. And I'm going to stand on the place that I have in Him. I have all I need. I have all I want. I have all I've ever dreamed of inside Him. Your marriage might not be going well. What does God say about it? I don't know what the enemy says. The enemy says, it's all over. Don't you believe it? You start singing your song. You start singing your song of joy. You start interceding. You start standing in a place of God's word of what a marriage is supposed to be like, what a home is supposed to be like, what children is supposed to be like, what your job is supposed to be like. And starts taking that position and start standing even when you don't have it in your hands. Even when you don't have it manifested in your presence. Why? Because your trust is not in the circumstance. Your trust is in the Lord God Almighty, the one who takes care of you, the one who's caused you to be born again. See, it's in the barrenness. It's when you don't have it and you don't see another way out that your song breaks forth. And you find the joy and you begin to... He didn't even say be quiet about it. He said shout of joy. A shout of joy. How many of you are standing on... How many of you are waiting on some things that God's promised? Wave your hand up. You're waiting on some things that God's promised. I want you to stand to your feet. You have been waiting on something that God has promised you. You have been waiting on something that God has promised you. Here's God's word to you. Start singing. Start singing. Singing what? Sing what He told you. Don't be gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, you know, see the whole thing about that is you start singing that song, somebody's always there to join in with you to say, oh, I know what you mean. Oh, I got it too. Well, get rid of it. You start singing the high praises of your God. You start singing His word. You start singing His promise. And then you release a shout for joy. Let's hear a shout for joy of what's around the corner that you're about to get that the enemy says you can't have. Well, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. See, it's easy right now because I'm leading you through it and instructing you. Now you're about to go home. Now you're about to get in that silent place. Now you're about to get over there where it looks like, well, ain't nothing happening here. Well, just go ahead and break out in that shout. Why? Because he said, why is that? Because he said, listen, the children that you're about to have, watch this, the children that you're about to have, in other words, the promised blessings, the fulfillment of promises that you're about to have is going to outnumber those that haven't gone through what you went through. That's what the Bible says. You may be seated. See, you cannot, and listen, don't go despising when somebody's celebrating. Celebrate with them. Who said that? Yeah, celebrate with them. You start despising when somebody's celebrating, you're going to be like Micah. You're going to be like David's wife. He come in dancing, praising God, the presence of God. Why? Something that he had been standing on and waiting on is happening, and it's the presence of God is moving into the Jerusalem, the city where he's living, and he dances clean down to his underwear. That's what he dances clean down to his underwear, and his wife looks out the window and goes, And the Bible says that she despised him in her heart. She despised the celebration that was going on in her heart. And you know what happened? The Bible says that she became barren, never to reproduce again. What's the lesson from that? Don't despise another person's celebration. Join in with it. They may have what you've been waiting on and you've been standing for, and they might have got it and they ain't waited on it but 2 weeks and you've been waiting 10 years. Celebrate with them, because yours is around the corner. Don't despise that. You'll become more barren. Are y'all with me? So what do we learn from that lesson? You learn not to despise, but you celebrate with others. And the second thing you do is you don't start criticizing. Because once you start criticizing, barrenness is creeping in. And the third thing is, don't stop dancing. David didn't stop just because she didn't like it. Matter of fact, he even prophesied, "Huh, you didn't like this? Well, it's about to get worse than that. My love for God is about to be demonstrated in such a way that if you didn't like that, you sure enough ain't going to like what else is going to happen." No, but some of us want a sanctified Christianity. We want to sanctify it, clean it up, and make it respectable. Yeah. I got to close. I got 5 notes, and I'm on page 1. How in the world can you do this, God? What are you doing to me? You got to treasure the Word of God. Listen, you want to hear from God? Treasure what He's already given you. If He's already told you something, treasure that. Hold on to it. Respect it. Make it non-negotiable. Everybody say, my promise from God is non-negotiable. It ain't going to be altered. It ain't going to be put aside. It ain't going to be put. It's non-negotiable. That's my promise in God. Don't let it be. Embrace it. Protect it. Hold on to it. Celebrate it before the answer gets here. I feel worked up for some reason. I just feel all churned up. You know, I said, Lord, help me teach the people. And here I have been preaching to you today. Listen, you got to keep your eye on it, though. You got to keep your eye on it. You got to be able to see it. Everybody say, you got to be able to see it. You do. You have to be able to see it. You got to be able to look at it. Get in His Word. See your way through. Everybody say, see your way through. God told Moses, what do you see? I see a stick. Throw it down. Then what God turned it into? The rod of God. What did Gideon see? He saw a threshing floor. He saw that he was in the weakest tribe of all of Israel, and he was the weakest of the weakest, and there wasn't nobody any weaker than him. What did God see? Oh, mighty man of valor. Oh, warrior of God. Let them that are weak. God wants us to be, if you can't, so let me ask you, what is set, said Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he saw the joy. He saw beyond the trial. He saw beyond the beating, and he saw the promises of God in the joy of being the firstborn among many brethren. And what he saw caused him to be able to endure. Endure the cross. So I'm going to ask you, what do you see? Well, I don't see nothing. We ain't never had nothing. Ain't never going to have nothing. Ain't just, you know, we ain't never going to amount to nothing. I just, you know, don't give us nothing. If you do, we'll just tear it up. We don't need nothing. I'm just going to go through this world just like I'm just going to go through here, and I hope I get me a little bitty cabin over there in the corner of that glory land. I just want a little bitty cabin up there. That is not what God sees. God does not look at you and see a miserable, weak people. He looks at you and he sees the blood of Jesus, and he sees the Word of God being given to you, and he sees you eating the Word of God, and he sees in you the promised army. Amen. that we've been singing about. The promised people, a glorious bride in all of her glory in the midst of the darkest of times, the terrible times, the crazy times, the horrible times. And here walks a bride who is glorious in her being with army boots on. I don't mind the flags when they come down. When they draw that sword out, I start ducking. I'm on the front row. You on the back don't have to worry about that. What is the other thing? Don't stop dancing. Don't stop celebrating. You start celebrating, start singing out for joy, and sometimes the heat will come even hotter. I got news for you. The fire that's inside you is hotter than the fire on the outside of you. So see what's set before you. If you don't see it, you won't get it. And if you don't get you, if you don't see it, you won't get what's given. And if you don't get what's given, you won't do what needs doing. That's true. For the joy that was set before him. What is set before you? What's the promises of God that set before you that the enemy wants you to walk away from, to give up on? What are they? Write them down. Renew them again and say, listen, I don't have these, but I'm going to start singing them out. I'm going to start singing through it. I'm going to start singing. Why? It's the high praises of God that executes the judgment. I'm telling you guys, we got to start doing this stuff that God says we need to be doing. If we want what God has to give us, we need to start doing what God said for us to do in order for us to get it. Well, I want revival. Well, then let's start being revival. Yeah. I'm going to give you a verse and we're going to go home. Hebrews 6 says this. When he wanted to guarantee his promise, he gave his word. His word's a guarantee. Everybody say his word's a guarantee. Don't let go of it, guys. Listen to this. His word's a guarantee. When he wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word a rock-solid guarantee. I'm reading out of the Message Bible. God can't break his word, and because his word cannot change, the promises, therefore, are unchangeable as well. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab hold of the promised hope with both hands and never let go of it. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of our God. It is the reaching forth past all the appearances that it's not going to happen and laying hold to the promises of God, to the very presence of God. And that's what this thing happens. And I've got news for you. He says, through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. When you start having faith in who he is and what he said, and then you start enduring the difficult times in the midst, you will, listen to this, that will attract the fulfilled promises of God. You want to attract the fulfillment of God's promises? Start showing out in your faith. Start enduring with a song. Amen. So, things going okay? Yeah, where's your song? The Bible says that Israel, when it was in Babylon, they hung their harps upon the willows. They took what they was going to praise with and they hung them up on the tree to look at. Jesus said, or the Word of God says, seek the welfare of your city. I know you're in bondage right now, but I'm going to deliver you. But while you're here, seek the welfare of your city. Seek the well-being of where you live. Seek the well-being of others. I'm telling you the truth, church. Amen. With all of my heart, I'm telling you the truth. Stand to your feet as I read here, and we'll go home. I want you to hear this. This comes out of the Passion. This is a Psalm 91. Listen to this. Psalm 91, you know, it talks about, you know, there are all kind of things against you, all kind of people against you. Everything's just rising up against pestilence, armies. Everything's against you. Listen to this. This is Psalm 91, verse 14, out of the Passion Bible. Listen to this. This is for you. Everybody say, this is for me. Listen to this. For here is what the Lord has spoken to you. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover. I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place. I will keep you safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for every help and every time you pray. And you will find and feel my presence. Even in your time of pressure and trouble, I will be your gracious, glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life. And with all that you do, all that I do for you, you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation and deliverance. Hallelujah. That is God. I'm telling you, that is the heartbeat of God. I feel like I need to sing, I shall not be moved, but I won't. Grab somebody's hand beside you. Say, we're in this together. I'll celebrate when you celebrate. I'll mourn when you mourn. I'll weep when you weep. And I'll dance when you dance. We're going to overcome together. We're going to get what we've been promised. But meanwhile, we're going to sing for joy. And we're going to shout for joy for the coming promise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.